This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. You made it to Friday. It's October 25th, 2019. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. The Noon Business Hour presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Amazon is the subject of our first segment right here on the Noon Business Hour. Shares of Amazon taking a hit after a disappointing earnings report. We're joined by Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk, based in Chicago. Michael, welcome back to the program. It is interesting to talk about revenue misses when you are talking about a company that has the size and scale of Amazon. When you're talking about an entity that has the reach of that is more powerful than some governments, a revenue miss may not seem all that devastating in the grand scheme of things.
Well, good afternoon, Robin. Thanks for having me on. Well, actually, Amazon did hit on revenue. It missed on earnings. So the margins were squeezed this quarter. They did show a revenue of $70 billion versus $68.7, which was the analyst expectation. But earnings were only $4.25 versus $4.58. So it was the earnings number that has some people a little bit worried. But people that know Amazon know that Jeff Bezos will sacrifice short-term profitability to grow revenue. So I think if you just keep your eyes on the revenue and look at the revenue growth, this company is not in any trouble. And that's why the sell-off that happened after the earnings last night has basically been bought by investors, because investors have seen this picture a lot of times before with this company. They'll sacrifice profitability in the short term just to keep building that moat that they have. So as long as revenue continues to grow, I don't think this is a concern for this company.
Now, inside their earnings report, they did say they have they had a rather bleak prediction for the holiday shopping season. And is that a canary in the coal mine for the economy writ large?
Well, retail in general is going to have a tough holiday season in that it's a shorter one. So because of the way the calendar falls, the actual holiday season is considered 6 days shorter than it was last year. So the numbers for the quote-unquote holiday season will be lower across the board in retail. That should still – and that is partly why Amazon has cautioned investors for its next quarter earnings. But, you know, this again, it's a calendar issue. It's not a long-term issue. And the other problem that Amazon's having is that they're switching to one-day delivery. That's going to cost them money in the short term, but in the long term, it's going to make them just a juggernaut in retail. And who's going to be able to compete with one-day shipping that Amazon's going to deliver to basically just about all their customers? It's going to be a very difficult thing for the Walmarts of the world to compete with. And that's what Bezos is doing. So he's going to sacrifice his short-term profitability just to make sure that he continues to grow his moat, to grow his competitive advantage, and revenue will follow suit.
Will, are we going to get to a point where the cloud computing business and Amazon Web Services, that is going to subsidize the retail portion of Amazon?
Well, that's what's happening right now. So AWS, Amazon Web Services, is really still a huge profit center. And so that's why Amazon can afford to do things like they're doing right now, which is to grow the moat in the retail side and to, you know, sacrifice some profitability, because it's still a huge cash flow generating machine, and they can just afford to get aggressive on things like offering the one-day delivery, where they just know that in the long run, other competitors, the retailers, are just not going to be able to keep up.
Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk, based in Chicago. Thanks for joining us once again on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up, Ford touts a new souped-up electric SUV.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Ford is going to unveil a Mustang-inspired electric SUV next month, and let's learn about that and more from John McElroy, who is an automotive industry analyst and host of Autoline.tv based in Detroit. John, welcome back to the program. It seems now that now the big three automakers have mastered the tech, they all want to go toe-to-toe with Tesla when it comes to style.
That's exactly right. I mean, you nailed it right there. What Tesla taught the rest of the industry is if you want to sell electric cars, they got to look sexy. They've got to have terrific performance. And, you know, if you do those couple of things and give them a decent range, Ford's talking about a 300-mile range with this electric car, that's how you sell them. If you just try to comply with government regulations and do it on the cheap, it does not work.
And the SUV, they say it looks like the Mustang. What's the size? Is it going to be comparable to the Explorer, or is it going to be slightly smaller?
No, it's going to be smaller. It'll be more like the Ford Escape. It's a four-door, as you point out. It's got styling cues that as soon as you see it, you'll go, oh, yeah, that reminds me a lot of a Mustang. But it's not a Mustang. But nonetheless, as I said earlier, Ford realized it's got to have sensational styling as well as performance in a good long range.
Very quickly, why did it take? Why did Tesla kind of beat the big three to the punch when it came to developing an electric car with razzle dazzle?
Well, remember, Tesla lost money for over a decade. You know, if not for the ability of Elon Musk to pick up the phone and raise another $2 billion whenever he wanted it, Tesla would have been out of business. This is why none of the other startups can keep up with Tesla. So, you know, as long as you're willing to lose money for years and years and years, you can do what Tesla did. Everybody else has got to figure out how to make money. Fortunately, Tesla just reported a profit for the third quarter, and hopefully they'll continue to do that from here on out.
Then very quickly, John, I want to switch gears, no pun intended, to the GM strike, where it sounds like this new contract is on a glide path to ratification.
Yeah, exactly right. It we'll know officially at 4 p.m. Eastern time today. That's when the union is supposed to put out the full results. But you're right. It looks like this is going to get ratified.
Well, John McElroy, automotive industry analyst with Autoline.tv, thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour this afternoon, talking about the new Mustang-inspired electric SUV that Ford is developing, and also a little bit of an update on the GM strike, which should be wrapping up later today.
Making sense of your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Facebook is introducing the News tab, a section in its mobile app that will display stories selected by journalists. Let's find out what's behind the strategy from Kurt Wagner, who is a reporter with Bloomberg based in San Francisco. And Kurt, it sounds like the Facebook unveiling of the News tab is taking place right now. What is driving Facebook's very public commitment to journalism now? Is it just a sense of paying back the publishers, or is this to keep the regulators at bay?
I think this is a publisher relationship effort right here, and it is not something that is new to Facebook. We have seen them try to do this in various forms over the years, and none of it has really stuck. And the big issue historically has been that these publishers create a lot of content, they put it on Facebook for free, it drives a lot of engagement, and they don't actually reap any of the benefits from that. And Facebook, as a result, has been accused of really almost killing the news industry in some regards, especially around local news. And so this is the latest effort by the company to kind of extend an olive branch and make sure that publishers who use the platform all day, every day, feel like they're being compensated for their work.
Facebook's head of news partnerships is Campbell Brown, who was a familiar face on several cable TV news channels about a decade or so ago. So she's definitely in the business. And some of the big names are going to definitely get consideration under the Facebook News tab. CNN, The New York Times, Washington Post, the Rupert Murdoch properties, they will be involved. But it seems like the big criticism now is something you brought up, is that smaller regional papers may be left behind.
I think I saw this morning that there were some 200 publications that had been included at launch, including a few local news organizations, more regional news organizations. But you're right. I mean, the small local paper from your hometown might not necessarily have the structure in place to set up a partnership with Facebook. And even if they did, they might not necessarily have the viewership that Facebook's looking for in order to invest in something like that. So I do think that this is a potential solution for, you know, the larger to mid-sized media organizations. I think it's yet to be determined if this would work for those people who are doing local news at a much smaller scale.
And very quickly, Kurt, does this raise some antitrust issues where Facebook can essentially decide which publisher can live and die based on a partnership?
You know, Facebook's already been dealing with that for quite a while, right? I mean, the algorithm that it uses to show people stuff favors certain publishers over others. So I don't think that that idea that Facebook is kind of in control of who succeeds and who fails is really a new one. I think the fact that they're actually paying people does make this a little bit better than the system that had been in place before.
Okay, Kurt Wagner, reporter with Bloomberg based in San Francisco. Thank you for joining us in the Noon Business Hour. Still ahead in Entrepreneur Friday, helping veterans find work through a taste for coffee.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Charles Schwab's recent decision to reduce brokerage commissions to zero is generating a lot of hype. We'll talk about what it really means for consumers. A Chicago business is making its mark in the highly competitive coffee industry using military veterans as the workforce. We'll find out more in Entrepreneur Friday. There's some cautious optimism as negotiators try to end the Chicago teacher strike, which is now canceled classes for a seventh day. Pentagon Chief Mark Esper says the U.S. will send armored reinforcements into eastern Syria to bolster defenses against a potential move on oil fields by the Islamic State. WBBM Business, the markets are in positive territory. The Dow is up 179 points. The NASDAQ is up 53. The S&P 500 is up 14. AccuWeather says cool this afternoon with clouds giving way to some sunshine, a high today of 52. Right now we have 46 degrees in Chicago. As the Noon Business Hour continues, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Markets are looking to finish the week on a winning note, and right now it looks like they will do so comfortably. We're joined by Peter Maris, who is the founder and principal of Resource Financial Group and author of the book Igniting Momentum, which is available on Amazon, based in Wilmette. Peter, welcome back to the program. Let's talk about Amazon. Amazon, a little bit disappointing in Q3, and yet the market seemed to have shrugged that off.
It's interesting. Amazon fell short of earnings after the bell yesterday, and the stock suffered overnight. It was down about 6%, but now it's come back. It's down approximately 1.5%. And, Rob, we call this a good miss. And what I mean by that is a stock's going to suffer when it misses earnings. But Amazon's goal of cutting shipping time to one day on most items actually took a toll on their bottom line. But if you're an Amazon shareholder, you've got to be encouraged, because if they can pull this off, it would make the company and the brand even more valuable in the future. So Amazon shareholders, again, should be encouraged here. And perhaps it's one of those one step back to take two steps forwards type of situation.
Well, when Amazon's stock took a tumble in after-hours trading, there was one estimate that said Jeff Bezos lost about $7 billion in net worth overnight. And for those of us who are used to calling to track down a $20 refund, that's a number that's almost impossible to even comprehend.
Absolutely. Well, as the richest man in the world, it's probably he didn't lose much sleep over it, but he made it most of it back this morning, so I think Jeff's in good shape. And it's interesting that the market's having a great day today, and I think it's shaking off some of the jitters regarding the earnings season. Even though companies like Amazon missed, we had companies like Tesla, Intel, Visa, Microsoft exceed earnings expectations this season. So I think the market is shrugging off the jitters of the earnings season. It's taken in consideration how strong our economy really is. And what I mean, well, we all know how strong the job market is, but the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index came out today, staying very strong, even going up from September, which tells us that our Christmas season will probably be very strong, because when consumers are confident, they spend. And that's what we're looking forward to this Christmas season, is a a lot of spending by our consumers.
There are lots of, as you mentioned, the University of Michigan study about consumer sentiment, but there are lots of data points about where the economy is at and where it is headed, but none more stronger than the number we're going to get in early January, looking back on the holiday shopping season. And yes, it is a week shorter because of the placement of Thanksgiving, which is one of the reasons why Walmart is unveiling its holiday shopping deals today, with less than 2 months to go until Christmas Day. Even with that shorter amount of shopping time, when you take that out of the equation, do you think this is going to be a strong holiday shopping season?
Actually, Rob, I think it's going to be a record holiday season. I think the numbers bear it. We have strong job market. We have wage growth. People are making more money. Now the average is about 5% wage growth year over year. That's the best it's been in 12 years. And the consumer, Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index, it tells us how confident the consumer is on their financial and economic prospects in the United States. And again, when the consumer is confident, they spend. So I'm looking forward to a very strong Christmas season.
Now, very quickly, let's talk about the latest on the trade situation in China. It looks like the U.S. and China are close to finalizing some sections of a trade deal. And with all of that disruption and all of that uncertainty, especially in the agricultural sector, what are we, as in Americans, what are we going to get out of this?
Well, the situation with China, the trade tensions between the two countries, China and the United States, hasn't really hit our bottom line in terms of GDP, gross domestic product. Now, some companies have suffered, 3M and Caterpillar specifically, but I don't think we've felt the pain yet so we can feel any kind of pleasure once the deal is signed. I don't think it's come to our bottom line yet. So I think it's going to get settled. I think it's not going to be an issue, especially come election time next year. But I don't think we're going to feel a whole lot of benefit from it, Rob.
And then it sounds like the first thing that's going to be knocked out is the agricultural component, which, of course, is going to play really have a big impact in parts of the Midwest, like Iowa and Wisconsin.
Absolutely. They've felt it. The farmers have felt the agricultural the impacts of the situation in China in the agricultural market. But they'll be the first to feel the positives as well. But in terms of the entire economy, it hasn't trickled down to us yet. So the farmers will feel it, but I think the rest of us will be business as usual.
All right, Peter Maris, thanks for joining us. He is the founder and principal of the Resource Financial Group and author of the book Igniting Momentum, which is available on Amazon based in Wilmette.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday, and this afternoon we're delving into the aromatic world of coffee roasting. We welcome in Brendan Marty, who is the co-founder and CEO of Veteran Roasters based in Chicago. Brendan did 11 years in the U.S. Navy as a helicopter pilot. And Brendan, thank you for joining us on the Noon Business Hour, and thank you for your service.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate you having me.
What is it about coffee that attracts so many veterans into that particular space? Because there seems to be a great deal of veteran-owned coffee companies out there.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with really what we live on when we're in the military. No matter what branch of service you're in, everything is about coffee or staying caffeinated and energized, doing your job.
And it also over your time, sometimes the cup of coffee that you have, it might actually taste really good. In other cases, it might just be utilitarian. It exists to just keep you awake. It may not be the tastiest cup of joe in the whole wide world. So I've heard other people say that they got into this because they developed very strong opinions on what a good cup of coffee should taste like.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point as well. I think when you're in the military, sometimes you just don't have a choice, and you'll take whatever's hot, or even if it's not hot, whatever's gonna keep you going. But I think that's a big piece. One you know story we like to share as well is, as well, being a Navy veteran. Actually, the term "Cup of Joe" comes from the Navy back in 1919 when the Navy outlawed rum or alcohol on ships. The strongest drink you could get on a ship was coffee from then on. So that's kind of where the word Cup of Joe comes from, because of the Secretary of the Navy at the time, Joseph McDaniels. It was a term to kind of spite him. So anyway, the fun little stories and a great little history around that as well.
And I honestly did not know that was the origin of a phrase, Cup of Joe. So I'll think of him the next time I have my next cup of coffee. So what led you into to develop Veteran Roasters?
Well, it was really, it's a partnership between, and we're a sister company of Rags of Honor, which I know you've had Mark Doyle on the show a number of times, or at least he's been on the station, to share what he's doing with the apparel side, supporting and providing employment and skills and training development for homeless and at-risk veterans. And I've done a lot of work in that since I've been out, is supporting and advocating for our veterans, especially those that might be struggling when they return home in the reintegration back to their community. And that was really around is to create a company that not only makes a great product in coffee, but also provides employment opportunities for those that might be struggling. There's a lot of great organizations doing work with housing support and other benefits for our veterans, but what's going to tie them back to the community? What's going to get them energized? What's going to give them that self-confidence to get their lives back within their communities and build them back up? And that's what we try to create for them, as well as for the community that follows and drinks our product.
And then coming up on Veterans Day, a couple of coffee houses in Chicago, Passion House Coffee, with three locations across the city, will be serving your coffee. And tell me a little bit more about that event.
Well, so our relationship, I come at this really not from a coffee perspective, but more from a veteran support and general business perspective. And Joshua Millman, who's the owner and CEO of Passion House Coffee, was the one, when we brought this idea to him, is help us learn about coffee, help us source, help us develop our blends and our recipes, and then train our veterans. And he was the one that delved and really helped us get started. And he's one of my partners in this endeavor. And he has three locations. He's growing rapidly. Just a great gentleman. He's built a great culture and a great group of people here at Passion House. But they'll be serving our coffees. They'll be the staff will be kind of sharing our stories, selling our bags. And I believe that veterans and family members can get a free drip coffee that weekend as well at every Passion House location on Division Street, also in Logan Square, and then Politan Row and Fulton Market.
Brendan Marty, co-founder and CEO of Veterans Roasters, based in Chicago. Thank you for joining us on the Noon Business Hour on this Entrepreneur Friday. Still to come, the truth behind zero stock commissions. We'll talk about that coming up.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The concept of zero brokerage commission sounds good, but there may be a downside. We're joined by Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Mark, welcome back to the program. It sounds like we have come a long way from the days of the old commercial for E.F. Hutton, when someone would say, well, my broker is E.F. Hutton, and everything would stop and people would turn in and listen, because when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Do those types of brokerage houses, does that type of activity, does it still exist? And does it exist in numbers great enough to float expensive TV ads?
Well, those are a great set of questions. I mean, it turns out that, you know, there are people on Wall Street who provide advice that people listen to, but it's under a completely different business model. Before, they were getting paid because they were getting a big cut of every transaction that you made. Every time you bought or sold a stock, they get some money. That business model, as you mentioned, with zero commissions, is now gone. So now they get it through what? You hear about hedge funds that charge 2% of assets under management plus 20% of all profits. Well, that's a nice business model, but it has nothing to do with commissions and that sort of thing. So yes, we do have people that people listen to, but it's not through your broker anymore.
And what is the percentage of investors who may not, you know, be who actively play the market and trade individual stocks on a daily basis versus a mutual fund, or that's what their business does?
Well, it's surprisingly high, and indeed the worry is that with zero commissions, it'll become even higher, because people will think, well, there's no cost to me buying or selling a stock, and so they'll go ahead and do so. And that's where I think the downside of zero commissions comes in, because it turns out there are costs, but they are more hidden. And one of them is known on Wall Street as the bid-asked spread. It turns out if you or I buy Apple stock, we will buy it at one price. If we immediately sell it, we sell it at a lower price. And that spread comes to, in some cases, a couple percentage points. It'd be like if you buy a new car, take it off the lot, it drops a couple thousand dollars. That's the equivalent concept here. yet it's hidden. It doesn't look like you're paying a commission. Oh, well, that's the price I was able to sell it back at. But believe me, it is very much there, and that's one of the sources of the billions, hundreds of billions of dollars that Wall Street gets every year.
Well, thank you very much for the insights this afternoon. Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and Market Watch, based in Washington. If you missed any part of today's show, you can go to our stream and just rewind to the time you want. Brand new pause and rewind function works both online and by updating the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.